I secure, we know how secure we are because Jesus has chosen us. That doesn't answer the question of why did God create us in the first place. Melanie and I were married for 10 years before we had our son. Our family had stopped asking us a long time ago if we were going to have children because they thought that we couldn't. And that wasn't the truth. The truth was that we had been married for 5 years and we just sort of didn't feel ready at that time. Then we had the opportunity to go on a 3-year Bible study, Bible college course, and so we went together. Then we were preparing 6 months to come to Thailand. One thing and another, it was about 10 years. But we realized that we had love that we could share. And we were very fortunate that we were able to conceive and our son was born. But life didn't get easier for us when our son was born. That's when things started, the trouble started. You see, our son wouldn't sleep during the day if you didn't push him in a pushchair. But we worked in a guest house where we would often have 50 people, and there were always people outside, always people that wanted to come and talk to us. And Elliot would be just dozing off when someone would come and talk to him, and up he'd sit and he'd be wide awake again. And we used to live in Hoa Hin, we had to go to Bangkok every 6 weeks for our visa. Every time we went by car, 2 minutes from the Christian guest house, Elliot would throw up. We had to feed him. We had to change our routine for him. But you know, it doesn't matter what there is, what difficulties may have come, we wouldn't change it for a thing because he's added so much to our life that when Jemima brought him along, it added even more to our lives. Sometimes it's unbelievable to believe that God would want to create us. And of course, it is beyond our comprehension, and still we start to think about families and how much family means. Unless it's a complete surprise that you're expecting a baby, most people have worked out that if they have a child, what it's going to be and what it's going to cost. And there's no exception. God did exactly the same. He knew if he created us what it would cost. You remember just a couple of weeks ago when we were in 2 Timothy 1 verse 9, we read these words. The grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. Grace is this totally undeserved gift. Let's just look at the whole of those two verses, 2 Timothy 1, 9 and 10. It says this, he has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of the Savior, Jesus Christ, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. God knew how much it would cost. Just look again in Revelation chapter 13, the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Parents, we have a little hardship, don't we, bringing up our children. God planned to give of himself on the cross for people that he knew who would reject him. Why did he create us? Because he's a God of love, and he wanted to share that. So why give us freedom of choice? It was going to cost the death of his son. Why give us freedom to turn our backs on him? Why allow evil? And why freedom of choice? The reason is because God is a God of love, and he loves us so much. And he wanted to make us in his own image. And the only way we can be in his own image is if we have choice. Choice to love and choice to reject love. Free choice means that there has to be choice. I want my children's basically to be like an autobiography. I'm sorry about that, but I want my children to make good choices. So if I took them to the restaurant and said to them they had a choice, they'd say, well, what is the choice? Well, I would like to say the choice is a salad, a good healthy salad. Look, there's broccoli, and there's lettuce, and I thought I saw some watermelon in there somewhere and some cucumber. But if I told them that that was all they had, they said, well, we don't have a choice. So if I took them to a restaurant and said, I'd like you to have a choice, you could have salad, or you could have macaroni cheese, and for dessert, you could have fruit, or you could have donuts. I know what I would like them to choose, and I know what they won't choose. But you see, God gave us a choice, and so he allowed there to be the possibility of evil so that we could have free choice. We could choose to love him, or we could choose to turn our backs on him. There's nothing more wonderful for us to have phone calls from the UK for Elliot and Jemima. We love it when they phone, they are both busy. Jemima is very overwhelmed at the moment, but they choose to phone us. And that is so lovely. They don't have to, we never said they have to phone us, but they choose to do it, and it thrills us so much. And just the same with God, God loves it when we choose to come to him. God has given us free choice, but it is in that free choice that we have a chance to turn our backs on him. But also, it's in that free choice that he has an opportunity to show us just how much he loves us. He chooses to make mankind, and he chooses to shower love on the ones who deserve punishment. The most well-known verses, I guess, in the Bible are John 3, 16 and 17. They tell us how much God loves us. So God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. But God didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Why? Because as a God of love, his desire is to pour out his love. And he wants people to pour out their love on him. Why? Why did he do this? Revelation 4:11 gives us an answer. In the middle of the praise of all the angels, they say this, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they were created. From our perspective, it's such an extreme cost, isn't it? Creating human beings, knowing that he will send your Son to die for each one of us. But we need to remember that God is an exciting time. I just wonder whether God, just like Paul, did you remember last week we saw Paul, he wrote to the Corinthians and he said this, he said, these light and momentary sufferings do not compare with the joy that's set before us. And I wonder whether God could do that, say that to you. His light and momentary sufferings are not to be compared to the joy that's set before us. Because we will have eternity with those who have chosen to be with us. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 says, look to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. These two words here, pleasure and joy. God reached down at just the right time. He became a baby in Bethlehem so he could restore humanity, so that he could give of himself, and so that one day we could be brought back into a loving relationship, into a family relationship that is based on choice. A choice that could only be made if God allowed people time to end. What was the joy set before Jesus? I believe it was the same joy that Paul talks about, the joy of a runner who has finished his race, the joy of a soldier who has completed his command, the joy of the farmer who is ready to reap the harvest. Remember when Jesus died on the cross, he shouted something from the cross. He shouted, Tetelestai, it is finished. This was a victory cry. This wasn't a desperate cry. It was a victory cry. I've achieved all that I've come to do. I've been a faithful servant. And as Hebrews 2:10 says, he can now bring many sons to glory. Two major victories were won. The first, he defeated death. Death no longer has a stranglehold on man. Jesus could look with joy and see that he'd opened up the possibility for God and us to be back in relationship, to be with him for eternity. But he also won victory over evil. Evil will come to an end. Revelation 20 tells us that the devil who deceived them was thrown into a lake of burning sulfur, where the beasts and the false prophets have been thrown. They will be tormented day and night forever and ever. In Jesus' death on the cross, he won victory. There will be a time when death and evil are no more. And those who have chosen to live for and love the Lord Jesus will be free from evil. We will make our choice to be with him forever. But I want to suggest there's another reason as well that God said that. Just look back into Galatians 4, verse 4. But when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Jesus' death on the cross paid for our price of sin, and we are so grateful for that. But I'm going to suggest that we need something else if we are going to be clothed in righteousness. It's not good enough for Jesus just to die on the cross, because if that was the case, he could have turned up at 33, he could have been nailed to the cross, and he could have gone. No, we are told he was born of a woman, he was born under law. The reason is because we needed someone who was without spot or without blemish to stand in our place. God reached down. He came as a baby. He lived under the law. He lived a perfect life. And that is why he claimed all righteousness. Just as his death takes away our sin, his perfect life means that we can be imputed with righteousness. His righteousness can be credited to each one of us. Paul explains this in Romans. He tells us how we can claim the righteousness of Jesus. Remember in Genesis 15, we are told that Abraham's faith was credited to him as righteousness. But Paul is explaining this to the church in Rome. And in Romans 4, verse 22, it says this. This is why it was credited to him, that's Abraham, as righteousness. The words it was credited to him were written not for him alone, but also for us, to whom God will credit righteousness. For us who believe in him, who raised Jesus our God from the dead. He has delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. You need to remember that faith is more than just acknowledging that Jesus lived. Faith is a deep, personal, life-changing conviction that Jesus is Lord and that he died for you. And it's this faith that can be credited as righteousness. All his perfection is given to us. God reaches down. His love is far greater than the best of any parents. He reaches down so he can pay for our sins. But even more wonderful, he reaches down so that you and I can stand in the presence of God clothed in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. God has given us all a choice. But with that choice comes consequences. God knew the consequences of that choice would cost him. But God loved the world so much that he was not willing to allow the consequences of that choice to destroy the relationship that he wanted with us. And so he reached out in love. He lived a perfect life. He died a perfect death. He rose victorious, defeating death and evil. This Advent, each one of us had a choice. And maybe it's a slightly different choice that each one of us had. For some of us, we have to make a choice about the fact of, are we going to find out about Jesus? Are we going to find out if this is true? Or am I just going to turn my back and walk away? For some of us, we have the choice of restoring a relationship that's not as it should be. It's not as close as it used to be. We have a choice of getting to know Jesus deeper. And then for others of us, we have a choice of getting to know Jesus better, learning to rest on him, learning to be at peace with him, and seeking to share that rest and that peace with others. God has given us a choice, and God will honor that choice that we make. My prayer for each one of us is that we will make a choice that has been made possible by the fact that God has reached out, that he has lived a perfect life, and that he has died a perfect death for each one of us. A choice to make him Lord of our lives. A choice to live for him. A choice to get to know him better. A choice to do his will. And a choice that will mean that we can live with him for eternity. May God bless each one of us during this Advent season. May he help us to make the right choice.